Chapter 24. With the palm of his hand, and goes on eating. All well here? Apostrophe apostrophe repeated. No answer. Another old man sitting on his bed, paralytically peeling a boiled potato, lifts his head and stares. Enough to eat? Apostrophe apostrophe, no answer. Another old man, in bed, turns himself and coughs. How are you today? Apostrophe apostrophe to the last old man. That old man says nothing, but another old man, a tall old man of very good address, speaking with perfect correctness, comes forward from somewhere, and volunteers an answer. The reply almost always proceeds from a volunteer, and not from the person looked at or spoken to. We are very old, sir, apostrophe in a mild, distinct voice. We can't expect to be well, most of us. Apostrophe, are you comfortable? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have no complaint to make, sir. Apostrophe with a half shake of his head, a half shrug of his shoulders, and a kind of apologetic smile. Enough to eat? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, sir, I have but a poor appetite, apostrophe with the same air as before, and yet I get through my allowance very easily. Apostrophe, but, apostrophe showing a porringer with a Sunday dinner in it, here is a portion of mutton, and three potatoes. You can't starve on that? Apostrophe, oh dear no, sir, apostrophe with the same apologetic air. Not starve. Apostrophe, what do you want? Apostrophe, apostrophe, we have very little bread, sir. It's an exceedingly small quantity of bread. Apostrophe, the nurse, who is now rubbing her hands at the questioner's elbow, interferes with, it ain't much rally, sir. You see they've only 6 ounces a day, and when they've took their breakfast, there can only be a little left for night, sir. Apostrophe, another old man, hitherto invisible, rises out of his bedclothes, as out of a grave, and looks on. You have tea at night? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the questioner is still addressing the well-spoken old man. Yes, sir, we have tea at night. Apostrophe, and you save what bread you can from the morning, to eat with it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, sir, if we can save any. Apostrophe, and you want more to eat with it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, sir. Apostrophe with a very anxious face. The questioner, in the kindness of his heart, appears a little discomposed, and changes the subject. What has become of the old man who used to lie in that bed in the corner? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the nurse don't remember what old man is referred to. There has been such a many old men. The well-spoken old man is doubtful. The spectral old man who has come to life in bed, says, Billy Stevens. Apostrophe, another old man who has previously had his head in the fireplace, pipes out, Charlie Walters. Apostrophe, something like a feeble interest is awakened. I suppose Charlie Walters had conversation in him. He's dead, apostrophe says the piping old man. Another old man, with one eye screwed up, hastily displaces the piping old man, and says, Yes. Charlie Walters died in that bed, and apostrophe, Billy Stevens, apostrophe persists the spectral old man. No, no. And Johnny Rogers died in that bed, and they're both on them dead and Samuel Bowyer, apostrophe this seems very extraordinary to him. He went out. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with this he subsides, and all the old men, having had quite enough of it, subside, and the spectral old man goes into his grave again, and takes the shade of Billy Stevens with him. As we turn to go out at the door, another previously invisible old man, a hoarse old man in a flannel gown, is standing there, as if he had just come up through the floor. I beg your pardon, sir, could I take the liberty of saying a word? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, what is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am greatly better in my health, sir, but what I want, to get me quite round, apostrophe with his hand on his throat, is a little fresh air, sir. It has always done my complaint so much good, sir. The regular leave for going out, comes round so seldom that if the gentleman, next Friday, would give me leave to go out walking, now and then for only an hour or so, sir. Apostrophe, who could wonder, looking through those weary vistas of bed and infirmity, that it should do him good to meet with some other scenes, and assure himself that there was something else on earth? Who could help wondering why the old men lived on as they did, what grasp they had on life, what crumbs of interest or occupation they could pick up from its bare board, whether Charlie Walters had ever described to them the days when he kept company with some old pauper woman in the bud, or Billy Stevens ever told them of the time when he was a dweller in the far-off foreign land called home. The morsel of burnt child, lying in another room, so patiently, in bed, wrapped in lint, and looking steadfastly at us with his bright quiet eyes, when we spoke to him kindly, looked as if the knowledge of these things, and of all the tender things there are to think about, might have been in his mind, as if he thought, with us, that there was a fellow feeling in the pauper nurses which appeared to make them more kind to their charges than the race of common nurses, in the hospitals, as if he mused upon the future of some older children lying around him in the same place, and thought it best, perhaps, all things considered, that he should die, as if he knew, without fear, of those many coffins, made and unmade, piled up in the store below and of his unknown friend, the drop child, apostrophe com upon the box lid covered with a cloth. But there was something wistful and appealing too, in his tiny face, as if, in the midst of all the hard necessities and incongruities he pondered on, he pleaded, in behalf of the helpless and the aged poor, for a little more liberty, and a little more bread. Prince Bull. A fairy tale. Once upon a time, and of course it was in the golden age, and I hope you may know when that was, for I am sure I don't, though I have tried hard to find out, there lived in a rich and fertile country, a powerful prince whose name was Bull. He had gone through a great deal of fighting, in his time, about all sorts of things, including nothing, but had gradually settled down to be a steady, peaceable, good-natured, corpulent, rather sleepy prince. This puissant prince was married to a lovely princess whose name was Fair Freedom. She had brought him a large fortune, and had borne him an immense number of children, and had set them to spinning, and farming, and engineering, and soldiering, and sailoring, and doctoring, and lawyering, and preaching, and all kinds of trades. The coffers of Prince Bull were full of treasure, his cellars were crammed with delicious wines from all parts of the world, the richest gold and silver plate that ever was seen adorned his sideboards, his sons were strong, his daughters were handsome, and in short you might have supposed that, if there ever lived upon earth a fortunate and happy prince, the name of that prince, take him for all in all, was assuredly Prince Bull. But appearances, as we all know, are not always to be trusted, far from it, and if they had led you to this conclusion respecting Prince Bull, they would have led you wrong, as they often have led me. For this good prince had two sharp thorns in his pillow, two hard knobs in his crown, two heavy loads on his mind, two unbridled nightmares in his sleep, two rocks ahead in his course. He could not by any means get servants to suit him, and he had a tyrannical old godmother, whose name was Tape. She was a fairy, this Tape, and was a bright red all over. She was disgustingly prim and formal, and could never bend herself a hair's breadth this way or that way, out of her naturally crooked shape. But she was very potent in her wicked art. She could stop the fastest thing in the world, change the strongest thing into the weakest, and the most useful into the most useless. To do this, she had only to put her cold hand upon it, and repeat her own name, Tape. Then it withered away. At the court of Prince Bull, at least I don't mean literally at his court, because he was a very genteel prince, and readily yielded to his godmother, when she always reserved that for his hereditary lords and ladies in the dominions of Prince Bull, among the great mass of the community who were called in the language of that polite country the mobs and the snobs, were a number of very ingenious men, who were always busy with some invention or other, for promoting the prosperity of the prince's subjects, and augmenting the prince's power. But, whenever they submitted their models for the prince's approval, his godmother stepped forward, laid her hand upon them, and said tape. Apostrophe hence it came to pass, that when any particularly good discovery was made, the discoverer usually carried it off to some other prince, in foreign parts, who had no old godmother who said tape. This was not on the whole an advantageous state of things for Prince Bull, to the best of my understanding. The worst of it was, that Prince Bull had in course of years lapsed into such a state of subjection to this unlucky godmother, that he never made any serious effort to rid himself of her tyranny. I have said this was the worst of it, but there I was wrong, because there is a worse consequence still, behind. The prince's numerous family became so downright sick, and tired of tape, that when they should have helped the prince out of the difficulties into which that evil creature led him, they fell into a dangerous habit of moodily keeping away from him in an impassive and indifferent manner, as though they had quite forgotten that no harm could happen to the prince their father, without its inevitably affecting themselves. Such was the aspect of affairs at the court of Prince Bull, when this great prince found it necessary to go to war with Prince Bear. He had been for some time very doubtful of his servants, who, besides being indolent, and addicted to enriching their families at his expense, domineered over him dreadfully, threatening to discharge themselves, if they were found the least fault with, pretending that they had done a wonderful amount of work, when they had done nothing, making the most unmeaning speeches that ever were heard in the prince's name, and uniformly showing themselves to be very inefficient indeed. Though, that some of them had excellent characters from previous situations, is not to be denied. Well, Prince Bull called his servants together, and said to them one and all, "Send out my army against Prince Bear. Clothe it, arm it, feed it, provide it with all necessaries and contingencies, and I will pay the piper. Do your duty by my brave troops," apostrophe said the prince, "and do it well, and I will pour my treasure out like water, to defray the cost. Whoever heard me complain of money well laid out?" Apostrophe apostrophe which indeed he had reason for saying, inasmuch as he was well known to be a truly generous and munificent prince. When the servants heard those words, they sent out the army against Prince Bear, and they set the army tailors to work, and the army provision merchants, and the makers of guns both great and small, and the gunpowder makers, and the makers of ball, shell, and shot. And they bought up all manner of stores and ships, without troubling their heads about the price, and appeared to be so busy, that the good prince rubbed his hands, and, using a favorite expression of his, said, "It's all right I," but, while they were thus employed, the prince's godmother, who was a great favorite with those servants, looked in upon them continually all day long, and whenever she popped in her head at the door said, "How do you do, my children? What are you doing here?" Apostrophe official business, godmother. Apostrophe oho. Apostrophe says this wicked fairy. Apostrophe tape. And then the business all went wrong, whatever it was, and the servants' heads became so addled and muddled, that they thought they were doing wonders. Now, this was very bad conduct on the part of the vicious old nuisance, and she ought to have been strangled, even if she had stopped here. But, she didn't stop here, as you shall learn. For, a number of the prince's subjects, being very fond of the prince's army who were the bravest of men, assembled together and provided all manner of eatables and drinkables, and books to read, and clothes to wear, and tobacco to smoke, and candies to burn, and nailed them up in great packing cases, and put them aboard a great many ships, to be carried out to that brave army in the cold and inclement country, where they were fighting Prince Bear. Then, up comes this wicked fairy as the ships were weighing anchor, and says, "How do you do, my children? What are you doing here? Apostrophe we are going with all these comforts to the army, godmother. Apostrophe oh oh. Apostrophe says she. A pleasant voyage, my darlings. Tape. Apostrophe. And from that time forth, those enchanting ships went sailing, against wind and tide and rhyme and reason, round and round the world, and whenever they touched at any port were ordered off immediately, and could never deliver their cargoes anywhere. This, again, was very bad conduct on the part of the vicious old nuisance, and she ought to have been strangled for it, if she had done nothing worse. But, she did something worse still, as you shall learn. For, she got astride of an official broomstick, and muttered as a spell these two sentences, "On Her Majesty's service, apostrophe, and I have the honor to be, sir, your most obedient servant, apostrophe," and presently alighted in the cold and inclement country, where the army of Prince Bull were encamped to fight the army of Prince Bear. On the seashore of that country, she found piled together a number of houses for the army to live in, and a quantity of provisions for the army to live upon, and a quantity of clothes for the army to wear. While, sitting in the mud gazing at them, were a group of officers as red to look at as the wicked old woman herself. So, she said to one of them, "Who are you, my darling, and how do you do?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am the quartermaster general's department, godmother, and I am pretty well." "Apostrophe," then she said to another, "Who are you, my darling, and how do you do?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am the commissariat department, godmother, and I am pretty well." Then she said to another, "Who are you, my darling, and how do you do?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am the head of the medical department, godmother, and I am pretty well." "Apostrophe," then, she said to some gentlemen scented with lavender, who kept themselves at a great distance from the rest, "And who are you, my pretty pets, and how do you do?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," and they answered, "We are the Ostafa department, godmother, and we are very well indeed." "Apostrophe, I am delighted to see you all, my beauties, apostrophe," says this wicked old fairy, apostrophe tape. Apostrophe, apostrophe, upon that, the houses, clothes, and provisions, all moldered away, and the soldiers who were sound. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.